Chapter 16. Some 30 months earlier, when Mark Fraser signed his name on the last federal loan form and jumped headlong into the quagmire of student debt, the Department of Education assigned him a loan servicer, a woman by the name of Morgana Nash. She worked for Now Assist, a private company in New Jersey hired by the DOE to service student loans, and her selection had been at random. Mark had never met her and had no reason to. As the borrower, he was allowed to establish the lines of communication and had chosen to keep the chatter to a minimum, like most students. He and Ms. Nash corresponded by email only. She had once asked for his cell phone number, but since he was not required to divulge it, she didn't get it. Now Assist was one of several loan service companies, and all were supposedly monitored closely by DOE. Those with subpar performances were either given less business or terminated altogether. According to its website, DOE ranked Now Assist in the middle of the pack. Other than the suffocating debt itself, Mark had no complaints with Ms. Nash and her efforts so far. After 30 months of listening to the bitching of a bunch of law students, he knew that there were some bad service companies. Her latest email, one received on his old account, read,
"Hello, Mark Fraser. I trust your holidays went well and you've buckled down for your final semester of law school. Congrats on making it this far and best of luck in these final months. When we last communicated in November, you were excited about your position at Ness Skelton, but still uncertain as to your starting salary. An update on this issue would be appreciated. Based on your salary, I would like to begin the process of structuring a repayment plan. As you know, the law requires a repayment plan to be signed at graduation, with your first payment due exactly 6 months after that. I know you're busy, but please check in at your convenience. Most recent installment, January 13, 2014, $32,500. Total due, principal and interest, $266,000. Best regards, Morgana Nash, Public Sector Representative."
Mark waited 2 days and on Saturday morning replied, "Dear Ms. Nash, thank you for your note. So good to hear from you. Hope you are well. Things are sort of up in the air over at Ness Skelton these days. The firm merged with some British outfit and everything seems to be in flux. In fact, I can't find anyone there who's willing to talk about my position. I even get the impression that the job offer might have vanished in the merger. It's very unsettling. And add the fact that my best friend jumped off the Arlington Memorial Bridge and into the Potomac, see link, last week, and, well, I haven't thought much about law school. Give me some time and I'll put myself back together. The last thing I want to talk about is repayment. Thanks for your patience. Your friend, Mark." Todd was stuck with an outfit called Scholar Support Partners, or SSP, or simply SS, as Todd and many other students called it. It was based in Philadelphia and had a dismal record handling loans. Todd had found at least 3 lawsuits across the country in which SSP had been sued for abusive debt collection practices. The company had been caught tacking on unwarranted fees to its loans and had already paid fines. Nonetheless, the DOE stuck with it. His counselor was a real smartass named Rex Wagner, a bully Todd would love to punch if he ever had the chance, which, of course, he never would. He envisioned Wagner stuffed in a cubby hole in a boiler room in some low-end basement office, probably fat and eating chips with headphones stuck to his bald head as he hounded kids on the phone and fired off pissy emails. His latest read, "Dear Mr. Lucero, down the home stretch now with graduation right around the corner, so it's time to talk about repayment, which I assume you have no desire to discuss since, based on our last correspondence a month ago, you still have not found meaningful legal employment. I hope this has changed. Please update me on your latest efforts to get a job. I'm afraid I will not be able to accept a repayment plan predicated on your apparent desire to work only as a bartender. Let's talk, and the sooner the better. Most recent installment, $32,500, January 13, 2014. Total principal and interest, $195,000. Sincerely, Rex Wagner, Senior Loan Counselor." To which Todd eventually replied,
Dear SS Senior Loan Counselor Wagner, I can make more money tending bar than you can harassing students. I've read about your company and all its lawsuits and abusive tactics, but I'm not accusing you of any abuse. Yet. I am not in default. Hell, I haven't even graduated, so back off. No, I don't have a real job, because there aren't any, at least not for graduates of low-end for-profit schools like FBLS, which, by the way, practically lied to us way back then when we were thinking about signing on. Boy, were we stupid. Give me some time and I'll work out something. Todd Lucero.
Wagner replied, Dear Mr. Lucero, I would like to keep things positive. I've worked with many students who struggled to find work, but they all eventually did so. It just takes a lot of gumption and shoe leather to get out there and knock on those doors. DC is full of great law firms and well-paying government jobs. I'm sure you'll find a rewarding career. I will ignore the fact that you use the words abuse and harassing. All of our email correspondence will become public, and I suggest we choose our words carefully. I would like to discuss this with you on the phone, but of course I do not have your number. Regards, Rex Wagner, Senior Loan Counselor.
Todd replied,
Dear SS Senior Loan Counselor Wagner, my apologies if I offended you. I'm not sure you realize the pressure I am under at this point in my life. Nothing has gone as planned, and the future looks awfully bleak. I cursed the day I decided to go to law school, and especially the one at Foggy Bottom. Do you realize that the Wall Street dude who owns the school nets $20 million a year from it, and it's just one of eight in his portfolio? Fascinating. Looking back, I should have bought myself a law school instead of enrolling in one. No, you can't have my phone number. According to the numerous lawsuits against SS, the worst abuse was over the phone, where it's almost never recorded. Let's stick with email, where every word matters. We're still pals. Todd Lucero.
They spent all of Saturday cleaning, painting, and hauling away sacks of garbage. Zola's suite was actually three rooms, one for the bed, one for the den/office, and a utility closet that had potential. They convinced Maynard to allow them to move a wall and add a door. One of Maynard's cousins was an unlicensed contractor who did odd jobs without bothering with the permit routine, and for $1,000 cash he said he could jerry-rig a small shower, commode, and vanity and convert the utility closet to a bathroom. Todd and Mark doubted that Zola would be impressed, but she really had no choice. She had not agreed to join the partnership, but it was only a matter of time. The day was cool and sunny, and Zola needed fresh air. She left her apartment early Saturday morning and walked to the mall, where she sat on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and watched the tourists. Gazing at the Washington Monument and the Capitol in the distant background, she thought of her parents and brother, locked away like prisoners in a miserable detention center, awaiting removal. Her view was majestic, with every building and monument a symbol of unbridled freedom. Their view, if they had one, was of fencing and razor wire. Because of their sacrifice, she had been given the gift of citizenship, a permanent status she had done nothing to earn. They had worked like dogs in a country they were proud of, with the dream of one day belonging. How, exactly, would their removal benefit this great nation of immigrants? It made no sense, and seemed unjustly cruel. She tried to keep Gordy out of her thoughts. His tragedy was behind her, and dwelling on it served no useful purpose. They'd never had a future together, and she had been foolish to think otherwise. But he was still there, and she couldn't shake the guilt. She drifted past the reflecting pool and tried to envision the place packed with about 250,000 people back in 1963 when Dr. King described his dream. Her father always said that the greatness of America was that anyone could pursue any dream, and through work and sacrifice, the dreams could come true. Now his dreams had become nightmares, and she was helpless. At the Washington Monument, she fell into a long line for the ride to the top, but soon got bored and left. She loved the Smithsonian and spent a few hours lost in American history. At no time throughout the day did she waste time thinking about law school or the pursuit of meaningful legal employment. Late in the afternoon, Todd sent a text and suggested another fine dinner, but she declined, saying she had plans. She read a novel, watched an old movie, and went to bed just after 11. The apartment building was rocking with loud music and rowdy students coming and going, Saturday night in the big city. An argument in the hallway woke her around 1, but she managed to drift off. She was sleeping soundly when someone began pounding on her door. For immigrants, especially those without the paperwork, the rules of engagement were well known. Keep clothes and shoes close by, along with a phone. Do not answer the door, and hope and pray it's not ICE. If it is, they'll kick through the door anyway, and there's no place to run. Though she was as legal as any ICE agent, she certainly wasn't living like it. Zola jumped out of her skin and pulled on her jeans. The pounding continued, and a loud voice yelled, "Open up! Immigration!" She eased into the den and stared at the door in horror, her heart beating like a jackhammer. She was holding her phone and was about to speed dial Mark, as if he could hustle over at 2 in the morning and save her. The pounding stopped. There were no more voices, only the shuffling of feet. She braced for the crash of her door, but there was nothing but silence. Then at the far end of the hallway, laughter. Was it really ICE or just someone's idea of a sick joke? She waited and tried to control her breathing. As the minutes passed, she stood in the darkness, afraid to move, to make a sound. It was possible that ICE might stop by for questions, but not at that hour, right? When ICE arrived, they meant business. They didn't knock and walk away when no one answered. Regardless of who was there, the damage was done. Zola slowly returned to her bedroom, pulled on a sweater, put on her shoes, and waited some more. When things were quiet, she unlocked her door, took a peek up and down the hallway, saw no one, and locked her door behind her. With Gordy's spare key, she entered his apartment, kept the lights off, and stretched out on his bare mattress. Sleep was impossible. She could not live like this. If her two friends were crazy enough to assume new lives, she would take her chances with them. Morgana Nash checked in.
"Dear Mark, I'm so sorry about your friend. I understand why you are upset. However, let's try and nail down the situation at Ness Skelton and begin talking about a repayment schedule. My sympathies, Morgana Nash, Public Sector Representative."
Sunday morning, Mark fired back. "Dear Miss Nash, thank you for your sympathies. It means so much. It appears as though I've been fired from Ness Skelton, fired before I even started, which is okay because it was a bad place on a good day and I despise the people who work there. So I'm unemployed again, along with the rest of my class, and I really don't have the emotional strength to start looking for another dead-end job. Please back off, okay? Love, Mark." First thing Monday morning, she replied,
"Dear Mark, I'm sorry you are upset. I'm just doing my job, and my job requires me to engage you in a conversation about repayment. There are many good jobs in the D.C. area, and I know you will find meaningful legal employment. Just keep me in the loop. Morgana Nash, Public Sector Representative."
Mark responded, "Dear Ms. Nash, there are no loops. There is nothing. I'm in therapy, and my therapist tells me to ignore you for now. Sorry, Mark."